560.
Drive Radio is a presentation of Colorado Select Auto Care Centers, the independently owned and operated shops of Colorado.
Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday morning on KLZ 560 with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading outdoor experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley and we want to thank you so much for joining us today. An absolutely gorgeous day here in the Mile High City. And I tell you, 200th anniversary of our Star Spangled Banner.
That's right.
Man, that's awesome. And I tell you, boy, I wish almost this was a different show today so we could talk about some of the things going on around our country a little bit. It's just unbelievable. But listen to Rush to Reason with John Rush, who just closed out their Drive to Radio show. Listen to his show from 2 to 3 every day right here on 560 KLZ. John tells it like it is.
That's right.
And I appreciate him doing that. And I'm going to actually be hosting a few of his shows later in the month for him, as he's going to be out a couple of days. So we'll get into some of those issues. But it is great to have the 200th anniversary of our Star Spangled Banner. Well, again, this is Sportsman of Colorado, and that's right. You here is my partner, Red Merrill. Red, good morning, good afternoon.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of that habit, but good afternoon. It's good to be here and good to be back.
It is, and Red's been traveling a little bit. We got Rob Zander in studio, Rocky Mountain Tanner. We've also got Steve Park in with Pheasant Forever. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you guys in. Check out our website, sportsmanofcolorado.com. There you'll find a bragging gallery. We've been posting some pretty cool pictures of late. 145, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Trevin Stolfus, host of Outback Outdoors. Trevin's already been hunting in Wyoming with our good friend Quentin Smith with QRS Outdoor Specialties up at the Split Rock Ranch. So we're going to be talking with him. Jim Arnold's going to touch base with us at 1:30 with Waterfowl Haven Outfitters as well. And our lines are open. If you have any tales you want to tell us, give us a call, 303-477-5600. Well, I tell you, Steve, let's start with you. And thankful for you guys and what you do with Pheasants Forever. And, you know, there's a lot of good things around with Rocky Mountain Elk, Pheasant Forever, you know, Ducks Unlimited, and all the different things about, you know, conservation and all that you do. But before we get into them, why don't you just take a minute and tell us about you, yourself, and your background, and then how you ended up being a volunteer with Pheasant Forever.
Okay, very good. Well, again, thanks for having me here today. Well, I'm a Colorado native, but I grew up mostly in the southwest of Arizona, New Mexico. Dad was with the Forest Service, so I spent a lot of time out in the mountains and stuff. And it was in southern Arizona, New Mexico that I grew up, starting about 7 years old, shooting dove and quail and just having a great time with upland birds. Then with my job, I came back to Colorado in the late 1990s, and that's when I started getting interested in pheasant hunting, because there's not a whole lot of pheasants in southern Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona.
And part of my job, I was with the Natural Resources Conservation Service for about 35 years, working in the conservation world, and that's kind of how I got hooked up with Pheasants Forever, because my boss and some of the CPW guys got together to form these Pheasants Forever biologist positions. And so that's about when I joined up with Pheasants Forever and have just really enjoyed the outfit right now.
You know, it seems like, Steve, when a person is interested in conservation, they soon realize that hunting groups and organizations like Pheasant Forever are leading the way in conservation.
That's right. I mean, Pheasants Forever is kind of known as the habitat organization, and we're dedicated to the conservation of habitat for pheasant, quail, and other wildlife. And I don't know the total acres that we've touched in the United States is how many acres we've put conservation measures for wildlife, but here in Colorado, I know the three biologists that we have, we've affected nearly 1 million acres in eastern Colorado with the wildlife plantings and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's really rewarding to be able to take a piece of ground that's been, you know, maybe abused and degraded and turn it into something that's really lasting for wildlife.
And, you know, folks out there listening, you need to realize that there are no other groups. There are no liberal groups. There are no Democrat groups that are working to conserve habitat, which is the key element for any kind of game, and especially for pheasant. They have to have nesting habitat, and they have to have the right kind of food and water. And no one but hunting groups are involved in that kind of conservation.
Well, and that's exactly right. We just last weekend had a field tour with the biologists to look out there what they're doing on the ground, and not only what they're doing for habitat, but you know, the global warming type folks that they're in that side of the field, a lot of what they do with the cover crops and all sequesters carbon, which you know, helps supposedly with the global warming thing. So even if they're not a hunter, they're an urbanite or environmentalist, a lot of the work that these conservation groups do go beyond just conserving land and benefiting wildlife. They're just good for the environment.
That's right. Absolutely.
Steve Park is our guest. He's the Habitat Chair representing the Metro Denver chapter of Pheasants Forever. Check out their website, mdpf.org. mdpf.org. Now, what is your role as a Habitat Chair? Tell us exactly what you do.
Well, as Habitat Chair, and I do have a co-chair, Jim McGannon, we work with all our conservation partners, which on the federal side is primarily Natural Resources Conservation Service, and the state side is the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and then a bunch of local agencies and groups, where we try and, first off, we raise money to supplement the biologist positions in the state, which are there are three of them. There's one in Sterling, one in Burlington, and one in Lamar. So we raise money to supplement their salaries. The NRCS kicks in about 50% of the salary, and CPW 30, and then the Pheasants Forever about 20. And so we all get together and find projects for them to implement conservation measures or wildlife improvement practices out there in the field. Here, we're the Metro Denver, we're primarily an urban chapter, so it's not like we're sitting right in the heart of the farmland of eastern Colorado. So we provide money to buy extra seed for the biologists to plant, because they want a tremendous diversity of vegetation and pollinator groups that support wildlife, not just pheasant, but of all kinds. So we provide monies for that. We provide monies to for equipment, like we have one seed drill up in northeast Colorado, which is a very high end that can handle a lot of diversity of seed. We're hoping to get another one for southern Colorado. So it's a lot of time is spent working with our conservation partners and raising money.
So do you do any, does Pheasants Forever do any restocking efforts?
No, not. That's been discussed. It's one of those things that's been debated over time, particularly with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. They find that restocking farm-raised or pen-raised birds, they just don't last. So these populations can rebound quickly given the right climatic conditions and habitat. And
And I asked that question because I already knew the answer to that. I've experienced on a small level myself, pen-raised birds, you turn them loose, and the next night the coyotes got them.
That's pretty much true.
Or something like that. And a lot of people don't realize that the key to having pheasant or any other kind of game is habitat.
That's exactly
you
right.
Have to have the right habitat. It's kind of like Kevin Costner's movie. You build it and they will come.
Right. Yeah.
If you plant you create the right habitat, you're gonna wind up with birds.
That's exactly right. And the other thing with creating the right habitat is then when we do get these years of adverse drought, it makes it through. Populations can make it through if they have good habitat to begin with. They can last longer through the drought. So it's really important that we get some good habitat out there, and I think we're doing it.
All right. Here's another question that I kind of think I know the answer to, but is varmint control an element that Pheasant Forever encourages or does, or what about that?
Well, no, we don't get any kind of regulation over predator control. That's kind of left up to the state wildlife regulatory agencies. Really, with the pheasant population, yes, there's going to be predator number loss, but I don't think trying to eradicate a bunch of the coyotes is going to help that much. Most of it, the loss is strictly due to the drought. And of course, during that drought, when they allowed emergency haying of the CRP fields, Conservation Reserve Program fields, that really impacted the nesting and the brood rearing for the pheasants. So that's where we can sure. If we correct that, sure. That's the best thing to do.
Steve, tell us about your motto and your youth and novice hunting program. Those are something that, you know, I'm really a big fan of.
Right.
Because,
right.
I look back and think about, man, I'm so thankful my dad, took me as early as I can remember hunting because, yeah. I meet guys today and they just say, well, boy, my dad, that just wasn't part of our life then. And then it's been hard for some people to get into that. So it's a great thing you guys do. Tell us some about that.
Well, you know, we should, besides just being known the Habitat Organization, we should be the Habitat Organization and the Youth Novice Hunter Outreach because really, especially here in the Metro Denver, our major effort is to get particularly urban youth or novice hunters who haven't been exposed to this kind of thing out involved with the outdoors, put up the electronics. In fact, our motto is No Child Left Indoors. So we spend a lot of our resources in education. We sponsor two shotgun clinics during the summer in which at Bar Lake where we, it's not just a shotgun clinic, we bring the kids out there, teach them some firearm safety handling. And then we run them through a field safety trial, show them how we would work in an upland game hunting situation, walking, how to carry the gun correctly. We even have bird dogs out there. We plant birds and they can see how those dogs work. And then when that's done, we have we take them to the shotgun stations where they can break clays. And we have a number of certified instructors, wing shooting instructors, which I'm one of them. And so we get on the firing line, and we provide the shotguns. We provide all the gear and clays. They get a chance to learn how to shoot, and they don't leave the line until they've broken some clays. And personally, as an instructor, I was fortunate to have my dad teach me at a very early age. But when I can take a kid out there who's not just a kid, but I've even worked with 50-year-old men mm-hmm. for the first time, and they take that shotgun, the look on their face when they break that first clay, their eyes just lighten up. And
yeah, Red's never seen that look. He's never hit one.
Well, no. I can give you some personal instruction.
No.
I can use all the help I can get.
He's a great shot.
But and then after they go through the shotgun clinics, we if they have a hunter safety card, we actually work with the Bluffs Shooting Club.
Oh, yeah.
And we will take these folks out on their pheasant hunt. And this is a very tightly controlled kind of hunt where safety is number one on our issue. But last year we ran, I don't know, I think 36, 40 kids through those hunts, and we got a couple coming up. Next Saturday, September 20th and 27th, we have a couple hunts going. That's our major effort really here in the metro area is targeting the youth and novice hunters.
Tell you what, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll let Steve tell us real quick about the outlook for the 2014 pheasant season. If you have any questions, give us a call, 303-477-5600. This segment is brought to you by The Reloading Zone. Give old Mike a call out there. Their number, 303-431-GUNS. Love that number, 303-431-4867 for all your reloading needs. I promise you, he's got it. And also a great selection of firearms out there and ammo, and he's got it all. So check out there at the Reloading Zone and tell Mike you heard about him on Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
Hi, sportsmen and women of Colorado. This is Steve Pidcock, owner of Hot Shots Automotive, located in Centennial, Colorado. I would like to offer you all a service special for your diesel truck, a complete diesel oil change, tire rotation, and 30-point safety inspection, all for $60. That's right, $60. That's a $125 value. And for you gas drivers, $25. That's a $60 value. Call us today at 303-617-1125. That's 303-617-1125. Or visit us at hotshotsautomotive.com.
Tired of going into a gun shop after hearing an ad only to find they have only a few guns and no ammo? Get into the zone, the Reloading Zone. From handguns to ARs, the Reloading Zone has it all. Need to get your concealed carry permit? Reloading Zone has a few openings this month. Call now, 303-431-GUNS. That's 303-431-4867. Check out their website, thereloadingzone.com. Get into the zone. The Reloading Zone.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of Haystack Help.com.
Lynn Lau Chevrolet is family-owned and operated for 37 years, and our commitment to the community is the best selection, highest trading values, and the best financing. How do we do it? Low overhead. And low overhead means low prices. Lynn Lau Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or LynnLauChevy.com.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me 303-884-1037 or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
Hey, let's go shoot some stuff. It'll be fun. Smith & Wesson Demo Days at DCF Guns in Castle Rock. Both today and tomorrow, KLZ 560 will be out there from 1 o'clock until 3 tomorrow. But the Demo Days, both today and tomorrow, it's your chance to try out any Smith & Wesson that they have on hand. Rifles and pistols. We got a couple to give away, too. A free M&P 1522, that's a rifle. We've also got a 38 caliber model 640 revolver that we'll give away on Sunday. I know, that got your attention. KLZ 560 will be out there from 1 o'clock until 3 on Sunday afternoon, so I hope that we get to see you and say hi, maybe take a couple of shots together. That'll be fun. Smith & Wesson Demo Days at DCF Guns on Park Street in Castle Rock. You'll be there, right?
The Dana Show, tonight at 7. On KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with my partner, Red Merrill. This segment is brought to you by the Orthopedic Stem Cell Institute, Dr. Ken Bateen. Now you say, how does that fit into the outdoors? Well, fellas, how are your knees? How are your backs? Dr. Bateen is actually going to be with us. I actually went up about a month or so ago and met with him, and he's going to be coming on talking about some stem cell things they are doing to help with that, to keep you from surgery. And we are looking forward to those segments because all of us can probably know what those knees feel like. Right, Red?
Yes, okay. Yes. All right. Mean, get up and down the stairs.
Our number is 303-477-5600. We've got Rob Zander in studio. We'll be getting to momentarily Rocky Mountain Tanners, and we're going to be talking about their company located right here. Is that considered Inglewood or Denver?
It's in Inglewood.
In Inglewood, okay, right where you are. And they do Rocky Mountain Tanners, like I say. They've also got Dead Memories Taxidermy. It's kind of all under that whole Rocky Mountain Tanner name, but we're going to be talking with him a little bit in just a second. But Red had a couple more questions for Steve.
Yeah, Steve, how many Pheasant Forever chapters are there in Colorado?
There's 15 chapters in Colorado. Most of them, of course, are in eastern Colorado.
Yes, and how can a person join Pheasant Forever?
Well, if you're in the the Denver metro area, you can go to our mdpf.org and click the link to getting involved and fill out the form there. Or if you're in one of the other chapters, you can go to the national website, which is pheasantsforever.org, and click on the Find Your Chapter link and to put in your zip code and contact the local chapter that way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there are a lot of good wildlife organizations, not just in Colorado but all over the nation. But you know, and I love hunting big game. But you know, if you go out, and of course, if you're a great shot like myself, you go out hunting elk or deer, and you get one shot. You know, you shoot and he's dead, and you're done.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about pheasant hunting is that you get to shoot so many times and you get to get several birds, and it just increases the enjoyment.
Well, yeah, if we got birds out there, it's great that you get a lot of shots. Last year was kind of a challenge. I'm an instructor for the CPW Novice Hunter, and we took out the Novice Hunters opening day, and all day long out there we saw one hen and four white-tailed deer. So, and they asked, is it always like this? And we said, well, every once in a while it is. But
I've got a story about shooting those hens. Not that I've ever shot one myself, but I used to be a game warden down in Texas for several years, and I actually pulled up to a field to watch, and the highway patrolman for our area was out there hunting with his captain that came over from Amarillo. And so I got my binoculars on him, and about that time a hen flew up. I could see it just as plain as day through my binoculars, and they both cut down on it and shot it.
So, Steve, what's 2014 looking like for our pheasant?
Well, you know, it's going to be better than last year. 2010, 2011 were good years, then 11, 12, the drought, and then the emergency haying and the CRP really did in the pheasant populations. But the precipitation, particularly in northeast Colorado, came at the right time and right amount this year. So the habitat's really looking good in northeast Colorado. Southeast Colorado, of course, is still dry. They did get some precipitation in spotty, kind of patchy. There were some areas that were hit by a hail, so they probably took out some of the small chicks. But overall, we're looking at pretty better than last year. I can't give you exact numbers. I did speak with Ed Gorman, who's the Northeast Regional Biologist for the CPW, yesterday, and usually he doesn't give a prediction or a forecast until after the crops have come off in October, early November. But I think you're going to see some pretty good opportunities out there if you spend a little time looking around. Should be good.
Well, great. Well, Steve, man, we appreciate you being with us. And I tell you, our time flies so quickly, but thanks so much. Pheasants Forever, again, this is a great organization. Check them out on their website, mdpf.org. And if you need more information, you can get in touch with us, Sportsman of Colorado, and we'll get you hooked up with these guys. All right. Rob, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, man. Well, Rob, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in outdoors and your love for it and whatever, and then we'll get into Rocky Mountain Tanners and taxidermy.
Sure, yeah. I'm originally from Nebraska, but grew up in Wisconsin. And like we said earlier, parents or your dad get you into fishing. That's kind of where I started out fishing. It seems like there's more water than land up in that area. So I didn't really get into hunting until I went to college in Nebraska, and some of my buddies took me out and, you know, started shooting some stuff. And, you know, anybody going through college didn't have any money, so I'm like, well, I can't really pay somebody to mount animals myself, but I want to save them. So I just kind of got into doing my own stuff and was pretty good at it, and started doing some advertising, built up a decent client base in Nebraska there. That was about 7 or 8 years ago, and I always wanted to move out to Colorado, so here I am. The previous owner, Rocky Mountain Tanners, was looking to hire a taxidermist to eventually, you know, buy him out over time. He was looking to get out of it, and here I am. We just transitioned over to the new ownership in July.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Yep. Yeah. And what's the name of your business? I see it on your t-shirt.
Yeah, the taxidermy portion of it's called Dead Memories Taxidermy. So usually we get a, that's gross, you know, from the people that don't hunt or fish, but if you chuckle from the people that do.
Well, those should not be listening to this show if they're grossed out by that, okay? Yeah. The dial does turn. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, Dead Memories. My wife just said I got too many.
And, tell us about your shop, Rob, and what you do there, services you provide.
Yeah, we do quite a bit there. Most of what we do is the custom tanning for, you know, hunters or fishermen or ranchers who maybe they don't exactly want a shoulder mount done, but they want to preserve the hide or make something out of that, so we can do that for them, and it's actually their hide they get back. We also do the taxidermy there, fish, birds, you know, big game, all sorts of mammals. The skull cleaning as well, if you wanted a European mount. We use the beetles to clean the skulls off, so it kind of makes it up, turn out a little better. The skull plates aren't loose and everything like that.
Hmm. I've never heard of that. Explain that a little. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're dermested beetles. You know, they're real small. They're maybe a half inch when they're full grown. And you just kind of keep them in some sawdust and stick the head in there. And if you have enough of them, you know, they can clean a deer skull off in a day.
Wow.
They usually work best when in their larva stage, but eventually they hatch into adults. And then they obviously lay eggs, and you can kind of build your colony that way. And
wow. Now let's talk about field prep a little bit, and we could take five shows for this because of all the things that you do and all the different types of animals. But you know, in big game, you know, let's say elk and bear, deer, stuff like that, what are some of a few tips you can give us here?
Well, the biggest thing you have to worry about is what we call in the industry is slip, where it's bacteria gets into the hair follicle and basically destroys it, so that's what the hair starts falling out. And you can have, once you do tan at that point, you can have bare spots, or eventually all the hair can fall off. Well, the best way to prevent that is you know, moisture and heat, they really promote bacteria growth. So if you can keep your hide nice and cool and dry, this is really the best way to preserve it. Whereas if, you know, if bacteria does get it and the hair starts falling out, the good thing with the leather tanning is, you know, we make the hair fall out anyway, so it's not such a big issue with that.
Right. Once a person gets a hide back, what can they be used for?
Well, a lot of people just use them as decoration and keep it as a keepsake of the hunt. And, you know, they kind of, every time they see it, and they can remember something about that hunt. Otherwise, a lot of people, out of the leather, we make gloves right at our shop. You can just order your different size, and we can make turn your whole hide into a pair of work gloves for you.
Yeah, you got nice stuff in there, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The hair on stuff people can use as throws or decorations. Doesn't really work too well for clothing, just because some of the hair breaks off. But on the small mammals like coyotes, you can make, you know, scarves or hats or even coats out of that.
Okay.
The leather, you can make leather vests. I think, Scott, you had some chaps made by us.
So. I did. And man, y'all did a great job on those. Man, those are really nice.
He wears them in our cowboy shootout.
Yeah, we do a shootout thing at our church camp. And those were cool. And, man, just so soft. I think those were in elk leather. Mm-hmm. And, boy, just really, really nice. Tell you what, let's go to the phones. I don't want to tie this gentleman up. He's probably out in the field. Let's go to Jim Arnold with Waterfowl Haven Outfitters real quick, and then we'll come back to Rob. Jim, how are you?
God, I'm doing good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. What are you up to today?
You know, it's opening morning of muzzleloader season. I was up on one of our ranches this morning, had 9 bulls around us, first light bugle.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, we passed a couple smaller bulls in the 300 to 320 range, and we got a big herd bull on there that we've been watching the last couple of nights. He's going to push the 370 mark, and so I've got a young hunter with me and her husband, and that's, she's got her sights set on that bull, so we're going to go after him again this evening and see if we can't get the job done.
Well, good luck on that, man. That's great.
Appreciate it.
How was archery for you guys?
You know, archery is great. All the hunters that came up archery season, this is the best archery season we've ever had. I've got a couple archery guys finishing up now, but everyone has shooting opportunities, and most guys ended up getting a bull this year already.
Right. And, Jim, for those that haven't caught your last few segments, just take a second, and you tell me when you got to go, because I know, like, you're hunting. But tell us just a little bit about your hunt club.
Sure. We have a Waterfowl Haven Hunt Club. My wife is definitely holding the fort down. She's at Cabela's this weekend, and I'll be down there tomorrow doing a seminar and giving out information about our hunt club and doing a couple of waterfowl clinics at Cabela's at the Thornton store. And the hunt club, what it does is gives the public guy an opportunity to come to northern Colorado and hunt private leases and farms and blinds and pits that we have leased. We have over 50 hunting locations, online reservation system. We have more waterfowl property than any other club in the state. It's really gaining popularity. Today was opening morning of teal season, and the club had an unbelievable opener of teal season this morning.
Wow. Red just looked at me and said, we should have been there.
Man.
Well, we will get with you. Again, this is Jim Arnold, Waterfowl Haven Outfitters and Waterfowl Haven Hunt Club. And Jim's going to be joining us as much as possible about this time every Saturday. And we're going to be talking about, waterfowl as we come up. But as we go through finishing the big game season, we'll be going through all that as well. And then International Sportsman's Expo now in January. Jim, you'll be a speaker at that again this year?
Yes, sir. I'll be teaching a couple seminars there Friday and Saturday, and I'll be there. And you can come by the booth and see me. And me, you, and Red, we're going to get out and shoot some ducks a couple mornings before the show and give a live report and let all the folks know how the waterfowl hunting is here on the Front Range.
All right. Well, Jim, man, we appreciate it. Now, if you want more information with Jim, you can give him a call at 720-917-9662. 720-917-9662. And you know, the biggest thing I hear, Jim, is people not having a place to go, and you can solve that. Just check out his website, Waterfowl Haven Outfitters or Waterfowl Haven Hunt Club. So, man, I'll let you go and get back to it.
All right, guys. You guys have a good weekend, and thanks for everything. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Sounds great. Jim Arnold, Waterfowl Haven Outfitters. This segment was brought to you by the Outdoorsman Attic. This is a great store, one of my favorite places just to go into because you never know what you're going to find there. And basically what this is a consignment place for the outdoors. So if you need a tent, need a sleeping bag, a lantern, I mean a cooler, whatever, fishing, tackle, poles, reels, firearms, they carry ammo, they've got everything. So if you're looking, guys, especially, and ladies, this would be a great place to go shopping for your husband. They also just great value. So don't pay retail. Go check out the Outdoorsman Attic They're located at 3435 South Broadway in Englewood. They're open 9 to 4 today. Their number is 303-781-3626. You can talk to Patty and Bill. Tell them you heard about them on Sportsman of Colorado, and I promise you, they'll make you an extra good deal there. So get by there and see them today. We got to take another short break, and we'll be back with more Sportsman of Colorado.
Have you given up on finding the right camper that truly fits you and your family's needs? Well, there's hope. At Phoenix Pop-Up Campers, we have developed the most personalized, toughest, best-performing off-roading campers imaginable. Yes, if you can imagine it, we can build it. At Phoenix Pop-Up, we would welcome the opportunity to earn your trust and deliver you the best service in the industry. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive $1,000 off your new custom camper. Call 303-286-3921. That's 303-286-3921. Or visit our website at phoenixpopup.com.
Hi, I'm Trevin Stoltzvus with Outback Outdoors. I want to invite you to come check out the most advanced line of hunting bows and accessories at No Limits Archery today. They have everything you need to be successful on your hunt this season, including Hoyt's 2014 lineup, the Hoyt Carbon Spider, the most technologically advanced bow on the market. The Factor, Hoyt's premier 30-inch lightweight hunting bow, the Hoyt Charger, and the Hoyt Ignite, two loaded bows that won't break your wallet. Also, don't miss out on their full line of high-end Hoyt accessories, everything you need to outfit your bow. Stop in today to check out the latest deals at No Limits Archery. You won't be disappointed. That's No Limits Archery, 303-270-0185. That's 303-270-0185, and that's NoLimitArchery.com.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesch for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273, or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
Be safe, have fun, and qualify for your Colorado carry permit. Teach your kids how to safely handle a rifle, pistol, or shotgun. Hi, I'm Tina Francone, and my staff of NRA-certified instructors at Straightforward Shooting have qualified over 1,000 Coloradans for their Colorado carry permit and have taught hundreds of scouts how to shoot. Get your Sportsman of Colorado discount by calling Straightforward Shooting at 720-989-9662. That's 720-989-9662. Or visit my website, straightforwardshooting.com.
Angel and Eric, the experience pros, weekdays at 10 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Again, please check out our website, sportsmanofcolorado.com. Send us some photos. We've been getting some good ones here of late of some great success hunts with some pronghorn and elk, deer. So please send us your photos. We'd love to post those on our bragging gallery. We also have an Ask the Expert segment. If you send us a question through our website, we'll use your question on air. We've got several different options now. We're getting you a $25 gift card to the Outdoorsman Attic, the Reloading Zone, Cabela's. Whatever you want, we'll get you one. But send us any question. If we use it on air, we'll get you that.
All right. And we're still with Rob Zander with Rocky Mountain Tanners, and his business is called Dead Memories Taxidermy. That's a great name, and because that's exactly what it is. When you shoot something and get it down, and you want to keep that memory alive and have the beauty of something on your wall like that, which me and Scott both are, our walls are full of that, then a great place to take it is to Dead Memories Taxidermy. And Rob, let's talk a little bit about birds and what's important about someone shoots a bird and they want to have it mounted. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you don't want to get those feathers ruffled up. Sometimes they're tough to get back into place, and you know, if they do fall out in the field, there's really no way to replace them. So a good thing to do is take a nylon stocking with you every time you're out there, maybe even a few of them. Just want to slide the bird in head first. You can even tuck the head under the wing, so when you do freeze it later, you don't want to get that face and those legs freeze dried. It makes them really tough to skin. later when you do bring them in. But, yeah, just stuff them in the stocking and maybe wrap them in a towel to keep them from freezer burning and stick them in the freezer whenever you get a chance. Just bring them in.
Red hates it when I ask him for one of his stockings so I can put my bird in.
It's real hard to get those things on and off.
He's like, Scott, I got to take my boots off to get that hose off.
Yeah, everybody in Kale, Scott loves me.
But it is something because, you know, I was just asking you during the break there, like, you know, caping, even the big, getting back to that for a second. I mean, I said, how many guys bring them to you exactly perfect? And you go, like, nobody. I mean, so you cannot bring too much cape. So if it is, just bring the whole animal, you're saying, right?
Yeah, if it's possible, bring the whole thing and, you know, and let us take care of it after that. Even those small mammals, just bring the whole body in. And, you know, that way we do it every day so we can do it the right way and there's less holes to sew up later and just, you know, in the long run it saves us time.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel like your real expertise is? I mean, what, you know, I mean, you see other people's work and probably some of it you go, hey, that's pretty good. And others, boy, this just quite isn't right. What's your attention to detail that you like so much?
Yeah, you know, you really got to be self-critical of your own work and be able to look at the live animal and know, how do I get what I'm working on to look exactly like that? So, you know, when you have your own shop, you don't have anybody looking over your shoulder telling you, you know, this is what you need to change or that's what it needs to be. So you got to do that yourself. And if you're not able to do that, you're not going to be able to produce, you know, the highest quality work that you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about real quick on the bird. So any bird, like from anything with feathers, basically, treat it like you were saying a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Now, what about fish?
Yeah, fish are kind of the same way. You know, they can get freezer burned really quick. See, basically, with them, you know, you want to take pictures of it because basically when it dries out, all the colors kind of get mottled down, and they're all kind of a gray tone. So take as many pictures as you can in different lighting situations so when we go back and airbrush and paint it, you know, we can get the hue just right, you know, the spots in the right areas. And then with fish, you want to wrap them in a moist towel, and then that way, even if it's in the freezer, that moisture keeps the scales and everything wet and keeps them from freezer burning. And then again, just stick it in a plastic bag and you stick it in the freezer when you get a chance, bring it on in.
All right, Rob, what's the turnaround time? Somebody brings you a hide and drops it off. When can they expect to get it back?
You know, it's kind of a lengthy process on the tanning. Usually we say it's an estimate of about 6 to 9 months. You know, we do things in large batches, so we have to get enough hides in, and then we can finally tan them and tumble them to get them finished. So, you know, some people think, well, if I bring it to you in the off season, is there a better chance it's going to be done quicker? And it's almost the opposite because we don't have enough in to do a batch right away. We kind of have to save up some work to do them that way. So the best thing is, you know, bring it in during our busy time, and, you know, that's your best chance to get it done sooner.
All right, and about the turnaround time for a mount. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody brings you a real nice mule deer, when can they get it back?
Yeah, it's pretty close to the same. You just say about 6 months, and, you know, nothing, rarely have I had anything go over a year at my taxidermy shop anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, what about South Africa and things like that? Do you deal with any?
I don't usually mount stuff from Africa. We still do the tanning. Okay. So if they have stuff sent over, we can definitely do that for them.
Okay, great. Now, you said you were going to offer some kind of special, so I'll let you explain.
Yeah, for all those listeners out there, you know, if you do bring us a hide, just mention you heard us on the show, and you'll be registered for a drawing. Everybody who does mention the show, you know, we'll put everybody's name in a hat, and whatever you have brought into us, you know, if you're the winning ticket drawn out of the hat, we'll, you know, your bill will be covered, and you won't have to pay, you know, anything on that, so...
Wow, that's a pretty good deal.
Red, you want to control that drawing for us?
Yeah,
okay. 303-293-2882, RockyMountainTanners.com. Now, will that site take them to both, or should we give another thing for the texter?
Yeah, it's under the same site.
Okay, all right. So RockyMountainTanners.com. Again, the number 303-293-2882. And just tell Rob you heard about them on Sportsman of Colorado. And they're located right off of Bellevue and Broadway. How far is that there?
It's about a block and a half north of Bellevue.
Okay, block and a half north there on the left, the way I normally go. But, again, just a lot of great products in there. So get by there and check them out, RockyMountainTanners.com. Let's go to the phones real quick and talk to our good friend Trevin Stolfus. I mentioned Trevin earlier, and if you've been to our Facebook page, you've seen some great photos of Trevin's success. So, Trevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, bud, and I got Red here with me. He's back from traveling a little bit. So, man, tell us about your last few weeks.
Oh, busy, busy, busy. Well, as you know, we killed that big antelope and then got a chance to head back up there. Came back, worked a little bit, you know, got to keep the home fires burning, and then went back up there. And we were actually looking at Quentin with QRS Outdoor Specialties. We were looking at hunting some whitetail. They've just had a lot of whitetail move in onto that, you know, that creek bottom there north of Rawlins, Wyoming, and on the Split Rock Ranch. And, boy, they have some beautiful whitetails. And we got in an awesome set up a blind before Fort Light when we first got there the first morning, and it was gorgeous. I mean, the sun came up, and then all of a sudden you see a white-tailed deer come out, and then these two nice bucks. And I got to admit it, I just whiffed it. I was going to shoot that buck. He's 46 yards, and I came to draw a couple times. Just wasn't right. We didn't have the right angle, and he finally moved into position, and I got myself pretty excited and flustered and missed him.
That never happens to me.
Red knows that feeling. Yeah.
Well, you know, the neat thing is I missed him clean as a whistle, and I say it's neat. After I did it, I was like, well, you know, if I would have done that right then, the hunt would have been over.
Right.
And you know, hey, I'll take an opportunity anytime it gives me a chance. But for it to be over that quick, I was almost like a little bit relieved. And so we got out, and it turns out there was a good mule deer buck out in the sage that was just about to bed down, and he bedded down, and me and my man Dustin, we worked on over, and we were trying to get in position, kind of lost track a little bit of where he was, and ended up making a stalk on a really nice mule deer buck and blew him out, never had a shot, but it was just a great encounter for that first morning.
Yeah, Trevin, did you film all of this?
Yeah, oh yeah, all of this is captured in vivid HD.
Well, is this miss going to be on your Outback Outdoor show?
Oh yeah. Hey, you know, you got to film a lot of. I miss a lot, so and we got a lot of footage to film, so so we got to show it all, right? The whole experience. I don't mind showing my misses, because I think you learn every time you miss or you make a mistake. I learned something, and
sure.
So hopefully we can teach others.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem showing my miss. I mean,
well, that's never happened to me. I mean, you know, I don't know what that's like, Trevin.
Well, you know, when you have when the mirror's your ref on a heated seat, I mean, things are a little different there, Red.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
He takes that electric window, gets it right to the right level, moves his mirror, and boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, the hard part about that is finding a bow that you can shoot from inside the truck, though.
Well, I've never found one yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we get back in that afternoon, and we actually got really creative. We actually built a blind out on the edge of the field, because this is really where these whitetails are hanging out. And so we took, we got a tractor, we took four round bales and put them, stacked them kind of in a clover leaf pattern, if you will, with about 18 to 20 inches of gap in between. And then we took some netting and put it in between that gap, and then went and got a bunch of brush and stuff and kind of just brushed it in. So it looked like four round bales sitting there, kind of creative. And sure enough, that's where we sat that afternoon, and we had a whitetail go 8 feet from us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we had these bucks coming towards us, but you know how they do. They just kind of messed around, and pretty soon they ended up getting themselves all worked up, and they ended up going quite a ways from us. But Quentin saw that same mule deer buck feeding on the edge of the pivot, of this ag field pivot, probably 200-300 yards from us. And so he got a hold of us and said, hey man, you might get out of that blind, see if you can sneak around in that sage on the edge of the field and get a shot at him. And I'll be honest, I was thinking, no way, there's a really nice buck. I thought, there's no way this is going to happen. And we started working around, and there was probably 10 other deer with him, does and fawns, feeding in that field. And we even kind of looked at us, and when I
came around the corner, and they were about 60 yards, and I was able to get a good range on them, broadside, and perfect shot, and I drew back and came around expecting them to bolt and, you know, blow them out, and they just stood there, and I shot him.
Well, all right.
So I'm pretty surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I literally looked at Dustin after that happened, and I said, did that just really happen?
Wow.
Because he didn't run 60 yards and pile up. I mean, it was a good shot, really. I mean, it would have been a 12 ring on a 3D target, and because the wind was right, everything just worked out perfect.
Right. Trevin, what would be some advice? You know, I was talking with a guy this morning, and he was saying, you know, he goes, I think I know where I'm messing up. And I said, where? He goes, well, whenever we scout on public land or whatever, he goes, we'll find, you know, a herd or something or where we want to set up. And then we will set up, you know. And I said, well, where are you setting up your camp? And he goes, oh, just a couple of hundred yards away. Mm-hmm. What's your advice on setting up a camp, you know, once you maybe have been doing some scouting and you know where they are? How far do you really need to be away from them with your camp?
Well, that's a great question. It matters. You've got two types of camp. You've got a camp where you're bringing in an RV or a tent or kind of a truck camp, let's say a base camp.
Right.
If you're doing that, you need to be a ways away. Because we're always thinking about scent. Scent is very important. If you're a backpack camp, I still like to be on a ridge top. And the reason I say that is if you're up on a ridge, the wind's going to come off of either side of the ridge and take your scent off into Never Never Land. Now, if you're backpack camping, you're going to move. But that's how if I'm bivy camping out, backpack camping out, I will literally, that's where I'll camp, is on those ridge tops. Okay, now, if it's lightning and stuff like that, it makes for a little bit of a sleepless night.
Yeah.
But I don't bail off in those canyons and set up a camp, because I will blow that whole canyon out of there with my scent. Okay? Now, if I'm car camping or truck camping or tent camping, RV, whatever, setting up a base camp, I'm going to set it ways back. I'm going to set it miles back from where I'm going to be. Because then I can take a trail or a four-wheeler or whatever to my trailhead and hunt in there. But you have to understand, the animals, if you drop into a basin that's full of elk, and you drop in there and you set up a camp, it's not going to be full of elk very long.
Yeah, that's true.
So just keep, you know, just, you don't have to be, especially if you're backpack camping or bivy camping, they say, you know, just get up on a ridge where your scent's going to go off into Never Never Land. And I don't even worry that much. People say, I don't light a fire. Well, it all depends on the situation. I'll even start a fire if I'm up where it's, again, going to go off into Never Never Land. I'm not going to catch a thermal and have it rise up into their bedding area or, you know, set up, depending upon which way the thermals are going, set up, you know, where we're right in the bedding area. So you have three major things that you always look for: food, water, and cover. And you always find the limiting factor. And sometimes a fourth comes into play, which is pressure. And that's what we do. Or if you're in Idaho, it could be wolves. Wolves can be that extra pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's, you're going to find those limiting factors. That's where you're going to be successful finding animals.
Now, you do a lot of archery, and again, our good friend Phil Mendoza with No Limits Archery, mm-hmm. want to give them a shout-out as well. And I tell you, you need a place to go shoot your bow or buy product. This is the place, No Limits Archery. But take a minute and just talk about you know, the spot and stalk type deal when you're doing archery. Give us a couple of keys to being successful with that.
Well, I think depending upon what animal you're spotting and stalking, you have three things you have to beat. And this doesn't matter what animal. You have to beat their eyes, you have to beat their ears, and you have to beat their nose. And Adam Wells, my partner in Outback Outdoors, he always says it this way. He says, you can beat their eyes most of the time. You can beat their ears most of the time, but you'll never beat their nose. Meaning, don't be silly and think that you're going to get away with being where they can smell you.
Right.
I don't care if you do all the scent control in the world, all the spray-ons and roll-ons and powders and whatever. Doesn't matter. You can't beat their nose, so use the wind to your advantage. When you're spotting and stalking, normally what we're doing is we're doing a lot of glassing.
We're finding the animal, and we're bedding them down. And that's when we move. We don't spot and stalk animals moving because we can never, ever, ever walk as fast as an elk can. Never. You'll never try and outrun an elk. When they're feeding or when they're moving from point A to, a feeding area to a bedding area, you can't run that fast. And they're going over steep, rough country. So your best bet is to stay up high and let your glass do your walking for you. You find out where they bed, and then that's when you're going to do it. For mule deer, it's really nice because you can literally, a lot of times, they'll bed behind a sagebrush, and you'll see their antlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll pick up a landmark, and you'll say, okay, he's right here. Blah, blah, blah. And most of the time, they might get up and move around, but they're going to be in that same general area. And then you let the thermals change, and then you move in, and you get within bow range and let them stand up and you kill them.
Right. Hang on the line with us just for a second, Trevin.
Yeah.
We got Wally on the phone. He may have a question for you. I'm not sure for who. But Wally, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for calling in again.
Did you ever get an answer for me about archery and muzzleloaders in the field at the same time? And
you know what?
I
have been by there. We had a meeting scheduled a couple of weeks ago right after I told you, and then I've been by there twice trying to get back in and have not been successful in doing so, but I have not forgotten about you, my friend.
Well, I'd like to ask your archery guy there that's talking about his feelings on that.
Go ahead and ask it the way you want to ask it, and Trevin can answer it.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing him.
I'm a muzzleloader. And for that week of muzzleloading season that we're out in the field with the archery guys, why do muzzleloader guys have to wear orange and archery doesn't? I could shoot an archery guy just as easily as I could a guy with a muzzleloader.
Did you hear him, Trevin?
No. What did he say?
He's saying muzzleloading and archery. Muzzleloaders have to wear orange. Archery guys do not.
That's correct.
Why is that safe when you got two different guys out hunting and one guy's got to wear orange and the other doesn't?
Well, you know what? I come from a state, New Mexico, where nobody has to wear orange. And it all boils down to safety. The person behind the trigger should be the one. I'm not a big proponent of orange at any time, but it is nice to be able to clearly see, hey, that's a human being. Okay, we're not going to shoot. With archery, you're in so close, there's no need to wear orange. If you can't, I mean, what happens is when you have a firearm or a muzzle, you hear all the time about people shooting a cow moose thinking it's a cow elk.
Right.
Okay. Very rarely does that ever happen with archery. But it happens with muzzleloader and rifle a lot more. Because what they do is they see brown fur, they shoot. Okay. So I think what they're doing is because those weapons can reach out a little further, they're wanting those hunters to wear orange because of the fact that, archers tend to be in closer and tend to be able to perceive their targets a little closer up at least, and therefore that's why they do that.
Gotcha. Now, to close out here, tell us about your show and when you'll be starting with Outback Outdoors.
Okay, our new show lineup is coming out that first week of October. We start again the fourth quarter. We're real excited. It's the last half of our sixth season, and we've got some great hunts. We've got a Montana elk, Montana whitetail hunt. We've got a Montana elk hunt where Adam Wells, and I'm just giving you a little bit of a teaser, a little bit of insight here, Scott. He shoots a bull elk from inside a cave. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I kid you. You're going to have to watch it to see how he does it, but he's inside a cave. It's raining like cats and dogs. He's inside a cave, and he shoots a bull elk.
Wow.
So that's all I'm going to say on that. But we've got some great shows, a great lineup, a great lineup for this fall, as we go in, a little bit of whitetail, but mainly mule deer, antelope, elk, stuff like that. So.
All right. Well, be sure and check out Trevin's website, outbackoutdoors.com. And check out our Facebook page. You'll see a lot of photos of him. But he's had some real good success. And, again, we want you to send us your photos as well. So, Trevin, thank you very much, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, one thing, Friday, the show, I should probably say, starts Friday on the full draw section of shows, block of shows on the Sportsman Channel. Friday's starting in October.
All right, and what time?
Here. At 8 p.m. our time.
8 p.m. our time.
Yeah, and then it shows again at 11, but –
But if you set your DVR, you'll never miss it.
All right, that's what we'll do. All right, my friend, we appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
All right, thank you so much. Well, Rob, any other closing remarks for Pheasants Forever you'd like to get a message out about? Or?
Well, I just want
Rob, I called him. I'm looking at him and called him Rob. All right, Steve, I'm sorry.
All right, well, if you're interested in just getting involved with Pheasants Forever or getting your kids out there, please give us a contact. And we're always looking for volunteers. We never seem to have enough volunteers to help those kids out on the shooting clinics and other events we put on. So, again, it's mdpf.org. And our next meeting is September 25th at Bass Pro at 7 p.m. if you want to come out and see what's going on with us.
Okay, great. And, Rob, I mean, it's going to get busy here probably pretty quick for you.
It's already started to kick in the gear.
Absolutely. So get by Rocky Mountain Tanners. What's the exact street address?
It's 4965 South Broadway.
All right, 4965. So I know I've been there, but didn't know the address. 4965 South Broadway. You can give them a call, 303-293-2882. And check out the website, RockyMountainTanners.com. Well, hour goes quickly.
Yeah, it does.
Sure want to thank all you guys. We want to thank our sponsors. You know, and John Rush has kind of got me in the habit of doing this, and I just want to say this very quickly. Do business with the sponsors of not just my show, but everybody's show. Those folks make our shows possible. We want to thank Dan Johnson and Lyle Chevrolet. We tried to hook up with Dan, couldn't get a hold of him, but we want to thank Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. The Reloading Zone and the Outdoorsman Attic. Those were our sponsors for today, and Waterfowl Haven Outfitters. So, guys, thank you so much for taking your time
coming in.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, have a great Saturday. It is a beautiful day. And now, Sundays at 5 a.m., they replay our show. So if you're hearing this Sunday morning at 5 a.m., we are not live, so you'll have to catch us next Saturday from 1 to 2. Listen today for a new show. Call Seniors on the Move Radio from 4 to 4:30. And that's a great show helping seniors transition out of homes and things like that in the later stages of their lives. So, again, thanks for joining us. My name is Scott Watley for my partner, Red Merrill. Happy hunting.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.